The time taken with the children is more than we understand. I don't know that we can ever get the full weight of it because of that importance. And they've not seen the burdens and the heartaches, but they're learning the answer before the problem comes. Go ahead, Tim. Absolutely. I'm excited about what's going on with the jail. What's going to happen this year? Big changes we're praying on, but happen this year. All right? Well, we got a few thoughts for you. We're not going to be in Ephesians tonight. We're going to look at some things just for the coming year and try to encourage and challenge together some of what we said already. What we have has already been said and sang. And so we're going to just trust the Lord to put this down in our mind and our heart. All right? Everybody all right? Let's pray together. Father, we come just now. And again, I come unworthy. I come not worthless, Lord, because you thought me worth enough to die for me. But I am unworthy. I don't deserve anything. But Lord, you again seem fit to give me far more. Everything I have is from you. I thank you for your grace, your mercy, your watch care. I ask you to cleanse me. I do thank you for forgiveness. And Lord, I ask you to cleanse me that there be nothing between me and you this evening. Fill me up with the Holy Spirit. Give me power that I might teach and preach as you want. And Lord, for not only this congregation, but for our entire church body, those that listen on live stream, those who listen on the website, Lord, may as you speak to our heart, may we be more like you, I pray. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I do want to challenge you tonight just for a moment. And learning to obey, I believe, is something that we need to try to major on maybe this coming year, learning to obey. I mentioned Sunday morning that if the only thing we do is believe and don't obey, then we're no different than Satan, because he believes. Right. He believes, but he don't obey. So if all we can say is, yeah, I believe, I know, I believe. I had a long talk with a lost man yesterday, and I know, and I finally stopped and I said, no, you don't know. If you did know, you'd fall on your face here at my feet and call on God to save you, but you don't know. And so we had a long talk after that, but just saying we believe is not enough. There needs to be some obedience. So I want to try to help you if I can tonight. Turn to start with, if you will. We're going to look at a few scriptures. Nothing a whole lot. Just look just for a moment. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 15. And just to keep that in your mind about obedience. And we know these scriptures. Everything that we'll show you tonight, you've read it for years and years. And we know the accounts of Saul and Samuel where the Lord has told Samuel to talk to Saul, and Saul has disobeyed. And let's look at verse 19. 1 Samuel chapter 15, start of verse 19. It says, "Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said unto Samuel, "Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And we've read that hundreds of times, and yet we still fail to obey, and we're so ready to rebel. And if you don't obey, that's what it is. If disobedience is rebellion, that's all it is. And Saul always blames it on others, and we do too. When we don't obey, it's always somebody else's fault. And can I tell you, that's never true. That's never true. All right? If you'll look there at the last part of verse 24, he says, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. He obeyed the people, Saul did, instead of the voice of the Lord. So we need to consider in our life this coming year to be more obedient in all that we do. Turn to Psalms chapter 32. Psalms chapter 32. Look at it just for a moment. If you want a title tonight, it's simply going to be Simple Faith and Obedience. Simple Faith and Obedience. And Raylan sung it, her and Hannah sung it. Trust the Lord, call on Him. And they give us examples through the songs of what the Lord takes care of and who He takes care of. So we have ample information to know that God is faithful and that God can care for us. I'm amazed at me and everyone else that will readily accept His salvation and then doubt everything else. We'll readily accept the greatest thing to save our souls from hell, to save our souls from a holy God that we have rebelled against, and to reconcile us and then rebel against everything else that should be simple. Salvation should be the hardest thing it's ever done because we're passing from death into life. But after we're born again, everything ought to be easy. But for some reason, we make it hard. But Psalms 32, let's look at verse 8 and 9 just for a moment. And look what the Lord says. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. That's pretty plain, ain't it? The Lord telling us now, I'll teach you and I'll instruct you, I'll lead you, and I'll take care of you. Don't be stubborn as a mule and a horse. Huh? I got tickled. Tim said sometimes we talk and we're too nice. Well, that's pretty plain there, Tim. And verse 8, God, it's a promise from God. God said, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to instruct you, and I'm going to teach you in the way which thou shalt go. Now, think about that. He saves us, and then we have a purpose. Do you believe that tonight?
Yeah.
Talk to me. I want you to be verbal with me tonight, vocal with me tonight. Do you believe He has a purpose for your life? Now, He saved you. That was the greatest thing. He saved you. But after He saved you, then He has a purpose for your life. And your purpose is no one else's purpose. Your purpose is a personal purpose for the Lord. Now, it may be something great that everybody knows, and it may be something that nobody ever sees until we get to glory. It don't have to be fanfare and fame and fortune, but He still has a purpose. If it's nothing but to obey Him in the tiny things, we sung the song, little as much, if God is in it. If it's when everything else is too hard to do and we're laid up and all we can do is pray, then we're still in the battle. So everything has went hand in hand tonight if we'll pay attention to the Lord even as He speaks to us now. It said, now I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. So he's promising me to do that. All right. And then He says, and I will guide thee with mine eye. Now that's showing that He's going to be close. He's going to guide me. He's watching over me personally. He's going to watch over you personally, and He's going to guide you with His eye. He ain't just going to holler at us, but He's watching our steps, and He's watching the way we go, and He wants us just to obey.
Yeah.
Is that simple enough?
Yeah.
Just as a child. Now remember, I want everybody to think about this. You'll never mature as a Christian. You'll always be His child. You will never be an adult in his family because you're his child. You'll never be his equal.
That's right. Amen.
See, we got a generation today that when people get a little bit of learning and there's 30, 40 years difference, they think that they're that adults because they're an adult. They're not 18 no more, that they're the equal of somebody that's 60. Well, that's not true. That'll never happen. But can I tell you, we'll never be equal with God, and we'll always be His child. All right? And we'll always, you'll never get to the point that you don't need instruction. You'll never get to the point that you don't need taught. You'll never reach the point that you don't need to grow. You'll never reach the point that you're close enough or that you've arrived. Even the Apostle Paul said, for he's not yet arrived, he's not yet apprehended, he's not got there yet. All right, and if there's anybody that I think him to be the greatest Christian that we read about in the New Testament, huh? And he hadn't got there, so we're not going to get there. So we need to understand we're always going to be and have the promise that he's going to guide me like a child. With his eye, and I get to be close to him. That's a comfort to know the relationship between me and the Lord is available there. Can you agree to that? And then now let's look here at verse 9. Now here's the warning. We got encouragement in verse 8, and we got a warning in verse 9. Can I tell you that's the way the Bible is? It gives you encouragement, it gives you warning. It gives you encouragement, it gives you warning. It gives you the right way, it gives you the wrong way. And you need to choose, all right? But it says, be not, and Tim's told the guys, you got a choice. Here in verse 9 says, be not, you choose now. Be not as the horse or as the mule. Okay. Be not as the horse and the mule. Now, we're easily look at somebody in the congregation, our spouse or our children, and say, now don't you be like the horse and the mule now. But that ain't don't say tell that to your children. That's talking to all of us. Alright? Be ye not as the horse or as the mule. And this is what's amazing, which have no understanding. Now, I had a smart horse. My horse that I had, I thought he was a genius, all right? But the Bible said he didn't have no understanding. What he did, he had a sweet tooth. He had a sweet tooth, and he knew that I'd always have in my pocket a peppermint or a butterscotch or a cough drop or a bottle of pop. And sometimes I'd give him the candy, and he'd do whatever I wanted, but it was for the candy. It wasn't because he understood. He relating that with his sweet tooth. All right, I'd give him that Diet Dr. Pepper, and I'd take a cap off of it, and he'd bite it, and he'd turn up, and he'd drink, and he'd hold it, and he'd turn up and drink. All right? And he was accustomed to the sweet tooth, but he didn't have no understanding. He still had problems. I still had to put a bit in his mouth. Still had to put a bridle on him. Right? Still had to make him obey. We don't need 2026 to be in the relationship that he makes us obey. We need to be willing to obey. Willing to obey. Does everybody agree to that? Right. Now, these verses encourage us, and encourage us to be teachable. He says, I'm going to teach thee, and I'm going to guide thee. All right? So, he encourages us to be teachable. Now, I know, if I'm going to speak for myself, if there's anybody here stubborn, and that I'm going to have to say it's me. I'll have to say I'm stubborn. Now, I can say that about you as well, but I will not say that. I will say that about me, that I know that I'm stubborn. I know that. All right? What I want to be is able to stand on the Word of God without fear or favor or without compromise, but yet still be teachable. Brother Rick introduced me into two words that I was not accustomed to, and that was objective and subjective. And I want to learn to be objective, not subjective. Subjective is unteachable. And I want to learn from you. I want to learn from others. I want to learn from the Word of God. I want to learn from the Lord. I want to learn not just from mistakes. I'm tired of learning from my own mistakes. I like to learn something before I make them. Can anybody say amen to that? I like to learn them beforehand instead of learning them afterwards. Now, it's still a good lesson, but and it hurts and it teaches you, but I'd much rather know it and not make the mistake as to learn it from making the mistake. And I can do that if I'll trust the Lord. See, the reason that I'm not obedient is because I really don't trust the Lord. Now, that's what it's going to come down to. Our title is Simple Faith and Obedience. But when it comes down to not obeying, it's because I really don't believe He's right, that I want to do it my way, that my way's right. When I disobey, it's my way. Do I understand that? When I disobey, it's my way. Well, that can't be, because I'm never right. For the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, I can't do it, all right? So that's where we're looking at simple faith and obedience, all right? Is everybody with me there? Now, that's a challenge for us to be obedient. Now, let's see if we can find the difference, all right? Let's look in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Is everybody running with me tonight? Let's look at Luke chapter 5. And I'm going to give you an illustration right out of the Word of God here that is obedience without faith. It's obedience without faith. Obedience without faith always brings up questions. You always question the one that you're supposed to obey. All right? Let's look in Genesis, or in Luke chapter 5 here. Luke chapter 5, start at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, speaking of Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now that wasn't I got a thought. Let's try this. That ain't what he said. He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. All right? That's disobedience. That's question. He's questioning what the Lord said. Okay? But then he says, nevertheless, that's not faith. That's obedience without faith. Nevertheless is obedience without faith. Is everybody hearing me? And have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. Now, I think it's foolish. I don't agree with it. It ain't going to work. But I'm going to do it. Now, that may work with me and you talking. All right? But it shouldn't work with us and the Lord talking. It ought to be yes, without question. Can I tell you, if we'll listen to our conversation, we question more than we believe and obey. Our conversation tells on us. You know, I'm sure the Lord wanted me to do that, but we slip it in there, I know that's what the Bible, but we go ahead and do it, but it's obedience without faith. Can I tell you? It's got to be faith and obedience. What are we saying, Clark? Trust and obey, for there's to be but to faith and belief. Huh? When we in the we say it all the time, and we read it all the time, but we don't have simple faith and obedience. So does everybody understand? The command was simple, a simple choice to Simon. There's no doubt about that. He had to choose to do it. He done it, but he was reluctant because he didn't go ahead and believe the Lord. The Lord said, launch out. Now, launching out wasn't the issue. He didn't agree that he was going to have anything worth launching out for. Everybody understand that? Peter would have probably sailed the boat anywhere he wanted to. That wasn't a problem. But he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drop. That's where the rub come in. Now, I've done it. I've done it, and it don't work. But Jesus tells us in John 15 that without me, you can do nothing. Is that not true? So what I want to encourage you, obedience, we say, yeah, I obey, but faith without obedience is really not obedience. It's questioning. All right? Peter understood it. Let's go ahead and read verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. One ship wasn't denied, both ships were sinking. Huh? When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. Now, can I tell you, that's good, that's repentance, that's good, but nevertheless, it was disobedience. See, he didn't learn his lesson until afterwards. Does everybody understand that? He says, for he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And he wasn't the only one who was astonished. So was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. They all were astonished. But Simon's the one who obeyed, but it was without faith. Nevertheless, yeah, I'll do it, Lord. I just don't see no... Yeah, all right, Lord, I'll go talk to them. They ain't going to listen. Yeah, I'll do. And we question, we stop. Is everybody running with me all right tonight? So we see the difference, don't we? Now let's look at obedience without question. And the greatest example I know is Genesis chapter 22. This is faith without question. This is faith and obedience together without question. Is everybody still with me tonight? Let's look at Genesis 22. Let's read down through verse 14, okay? It's familiar, but we know it, but let's read it. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. Now that's the Abraham's Calvary. That's one of my favorite passages of the scripture. I love it completely, and we know that. But what I want you to notice is there was never a question with Abraham. Now there's two instances of obedience here. We always think of one, but there's two instances of obedience. Alright? And one is when God changes his mind. Now, we question. Sometimes we readily obey without question. But then if something changes, then we stop. Now follow me just for a moment. Is everybody alright with me right now? You understand what I'm just saying? Alright? The Lord, in the first part of the scripture, it says, verse 2, "Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell them." There was no question. He didn't say why. He didn't say, "Wait a minute, you just give me my son. You're now you're going to kill him." That never come out of Abraham's mouth. The Bible plainly says he believed God. It was counted for him for righteousness. He didn't have no problem trusting the Lord. He believed the Lord. He didn't stagger these promises. Paul wrote in Romans, he didn't stagger the promises of God. He believed the Lord. And he didn't question it. And he went and done what he said. Now, many of us do that just soon the Lord says so. We'll obey. But then down in verse 11, says, "An angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I." Now, remember now, Abraham then stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He then stretched forth his hand, getting ready to kill his son, and God changes his mind. He said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram. Now he never questioned the second time either. By the time we miss that obedience, he obeyed the Lord by faith. He had faith and obedience and having no problem, alright? But when God changed his mind, Abraham never said, "Wait a minute, I thought you just told me to do this." Right. Now we've all done that. We've all know that we was minding God, and then things change. "Well, wait, I thought this is what you wanted, Lord." Well, if he done told you to do it, and you're still there, then just keep doing it. Just keep obeying. We got to believe he's right. Everybody with me there? We got to believe he's right. We got to trust the Lord. Now listen, I tell you this all the time, and I mean it. If he's not in charge, I quit. Right. If it's going to depend on at any moment that he's going to let me be in charge, then it's all done blowed completely apart. And I don't want you to be in charge neither. I don't want to be in charge. And I don't want you to be in charge. You don't trust me, and I don't trust you. Would you rather me be in charge or God? But you don't have to think about that, do you? Right? Does everybody understand what I'm saying here? See, God changed his mind. See, that's where we sometimes get fouled up. We get sideways. Right, we obey, and we're going down, and we're obeying the Lord. But when things change, then we start searching. "Well, wait a minute. You told me to kill him. I'm going to go ahead and kill him." That wasn't what he wanted to start with. Now, he would have killed him, and he would have raised him up. That wasn't the problem. Abraham believed all that. But God had a plan. God was seeing what Abraham was going to do. He knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to show him. All right? Are we okay with that? But it's all this was a choice. Verse 1. When the Lord spoke to Abraham, he said, "Here I am." That seemed to be a very, very common thing. verse 11. An angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. I'm getting ready. He was getting ready to... Getting ready to stick a knife in. He said, wait, okay, here am I. Yes. No. Okay. I'll kill the ram. Faith and obedience. I'm challenging you tonight for the coming year to just have simple faith and obedience and let the Lord take care of this. We got some things that we can't fix. Can I tell you? I was going to tell you and let you in on a secret. You can't fix nothing. I can't fix nothing. I can't fix nothing mentally. I can't fix nothing physically. I can't fix nothing spiritually. I can't change others. There's others I would like to change. I want others to be doing some things that they're not going to do it. Not with what I have. It's going to take the Lord before they go. They're going to have to work on their mind. God's going to have to work on their mind, their heart. It's going to have to be. And then I can pray about it. I can change it maybe that way. But it's going to be the Lord doing it. It ain't going to be me. It's me believing the Lord. We can't fix it tonight. But it's still a choice. Can you imagine the mess that would have happened if he hadn't looked up when the Lord spoke and seen the ram? He'd have killed his son. Now, even though God would have fixed all that, that wasn't the point of none of it. It was faith and obedience. Everybody follow me tonight? Now, there's more than that. Because it is a choice. And I didn't even think about this or realize this till today. I was in there in my study, in there in the office, reading. And I'm sure some of y'all probably done figured this out. But look in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We're talking about simple faith and obedience. Everybody still with me? Genesis chapter 2. And let's look at verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, speaking of Adam, and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now we know that scripture, right? Everybody knows that scripture. And we know what happened. We know that Eve and the serpent got into discussion. She took the fruit and gave to her husband with her. And they both ate. And Eve was deceived and Adam chose. And mankind fell into sin, and wherefore the one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, says in Romans 5:12. We still okay? That was all choice, was it not? Did you ever notice? Look in Genesis 3. Let's look at verse 23 and 24. It says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden, speaking of Adam, to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. You know, he guarded the tree of life, but he never guarded the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If he had guarded the tree of good and evil, they'd have never sinned. They'd have never sinned. He guarded the tree of life. But he didn't guard. Y'all follow me? You know why? Because from the beginning, it's been faith and obedience. Simple faith and obedience. That makes sense. Had he guarded the tree of good and evil, then we, Adam and Eve, had never sinned. They'd have had just Adam and Eve and God, and it would have been a perfect place forever. But he didn't. He gave them a choice. We're given a choice tonight to believe God and obey. And I'm challenging you for 2026 to believe God, simple faith, and obedience. Because to obey is better than sacrifice. There's your thought for tonight. All right? I hope you can accept that challenge. All right? Well, let's gather around.